The Boggart by Susan Cooper, read by David Rintoul. Chapter 1. The little boat crept closer over the grey-green water of the loch. Tommy could hear the slow creaking of the rowlocks and see the white hair of the lean old man bent over the oars. His father said the MacDevon was 100 years old, but Tommy had never had the courage to ask if it were true. The MacDevon was a clan chief, the last of his line, and you didn't ask a clan chief a question like that.
Good day, Mr. MacDevon.
He caught the bow of the dinghy as it crunched into the small stones of the beach. This was a weekly ritual, the old man's shopping trip from the island of Castle Keep.
Aye, said the MacDevon in his soft, rusty voice. Have you not brought Fergus?
Tommy was astonished. The old man never went anywhere without his dog.
Fergus is old and tired, Thomas, like his master.
The MacDevon stepped over the side of the dinghy, lifting his big rubber boots as if they were too heavy for him. Out of the boat he took a deep shopping basket, woven of wicker, grey-brown with age. Then he walked carefully up the beach towards the village store, in which Tommy's mother struggled to fill all at once the jobs of grocer, bookseller, fruiterer, postmistress, and occasionally, if Tommy went fishing, fishmonger. She used her son as delivery boy, though he preferred the fishing. Tommy tugged the dinghy further up the beach and looked out over the water to the MacDevon's island. It was no more than a rock, really, a grass-skinned slab from which the square grey bulk of Castle Keep rose like a box of stone. The castle's grey sides were streaked yellow with lichen. There were only a few windows, and those cut so small, against attack from long-ago invaders or the everlasting Highland wind, that the walls seemed blind. It was a small castle, as castles go, but it was handsome and forbidding there alone in the loch, with the water all around and the hills of Mull rising misty beyond. Though Tommy rode over to the island now and again to deliver groceries or mail, he had seldom been inside, nor had anyone else from the village. The days were long gone when Castle Keep rang with the revelling of clansmen gathered from all over the Western Isles, and every neighbour strained to hear the haunting music of the great piper MacCrimmon of Skye. Now the castle stood silent and empty, and the last MacDevon lived there alone, with Fergus, his dog. But not quite alone. Tommy gasped, jumping suddenly backward as a strand of wet seaweed was flipped up into his face from something in the bottom of the empty boat. He thought, "So you're here again this time, are you?" For an instant he heard the thread of a laugh from the thing in the boat that he could not see. A very ancient, mischievous thing, solitary and sly, born of a magic as old as the rocks and the waves. A thing that had lived in Castle Keep for all the centuries of the MacDevon clan, and longer. The Boggart had come shopping too. Tommy's mother weighed out the apples and put them in the MacDevon's basket. She frowned at the keys of her cash register as she carefully punched in the prices of apples, bread, oatmeal, milk, and so she failed to see one of the apples rise quickly into the air and float sideways. But Tommy saw. Instinctively he put out a hand and snatched the apple as it passed, and from somewhere in the air he heard the echo of a small, resentful wail. He handed the apple to the MacDevon. A smile flickered over the MacDevon's pleated brown face, as he winked at Tommy with one of his bright eyes as he put the apple back in the basket with the rest. Nearby, the air seemed to quiver for a moment, as if something swiftly passed.
"So, Mrs. Cameron," said the MacDevon, "is there any mail for me?"
No, Mr. MacDevon, not this week,"
said Tommy's mother, as she said every week.
"Well, now, what is the news?" he said.
Mrs. Cameron paused to think. She was a pretty woman, but looked always slightly worried, perhaps by the fecklessness of Tommy's father, Angus Cameron, who, as usual, was away somewhere chasing a story. He was the Argyll correspondent for several Glasgow and London newspapers. By the standards of Glasgow and London, not much news was made in Argyll. She said, Mrs. McNeil's youngest, Sue, has had twins in Aberdeen, Tommy said proudly, and we have a computer, the McDevons said in disbelief.
A computer?
Mrs. Cameron sighed. It is one more thing that his father has bought second-hand for his work. But Angus cannot understand the machine at all.
I can, though, Tommy said confidently. We have them at school.
Perhaps you will teach him, said his mother, without much hope, if he will just stay in the one place long enough. Suddenly Tommy heard a bicycle bell ringing from outside the shop door, where six bicycles, bought by his father, also second-hand, stood waiting in a patient row for athletic tourists to come and rent them. He ran hopefully outside, and was greeted instantly by a great jangling crash as all six bicycles tumbled into a heap. Tommy stood staring. Nobody was there, and he had not touched any of the bicycles, not one. Mrs. Cameron called crossly,
"Tommy! What are you doing?"
From the other side of the bicycles, in a triumphant whisper of sound, the boggart laughed. Swinging his golden tail, Fergus lumbered to his feet as the McDevon opened the great door into the castle's draughty hall. Fergus was an elderly Labrador, deaf and almost blind, and all his world now was focused on the presence and smell and touch of the McDevon. His master rubbed his head absently and moved towards the kitchen, carrying his basket. With his fine new packet of oatmeal from the Cameron's shop, he had a mind to make a nice warming bowl of porridge for his tea. Behind him, the boggart swiftly transformed himself into a large hairy brown spider and danced provocatively on the tip of Fergus's hot, dry nose. Once this would have produced gratifyingly hysterical howls and barks, but Fergus was too blind to see the spider. He only sneezed and shook his head, sending the boggart rolling head over his eight heels on the floor. It was the boggart's turn to sneeze in the dust that lay thick all through Castle Keep. He changed back into his own shapeless, invisible self and flickered away to sulk on a windowsill. Outside, a fine soft rain began to fall, and all the surrounding coasts of the western highlands of Scotland and the island of Mull disappeared into the mist. For more centuries than he could count, the boggart had lived at the edge of whatever family of McDevons inhabited Castle Keep. He had no idea where he had come from, nor did they. Sometimes the family knew he was there. Sometimes there was nobody who noticed, though this offended the boggart's pride, and usually he would put the situation to rights by behaviour so outrageous that even the most earthbound human would sense that magic was at work. Once, in the 16th century, in the time of a particularly bone-headed McDevon, he had had to leave a grinning, luminous skull suspended in mid-air over the castle steps for a full week before the clan chief stopped, looked up, and shrieked. The present McDevon, last of his line, had known about the boggart since the day when he lay in his cradle and heard something invisible squeaking like a mouse in his ear. Instead of crying, he had laughed. It was the first laugh of his life. Thus he had grown up to become a man who enjoyed practical jokes, even when he himself was the object of them, and he and the boggart had lived in silent, mutual appreciation ever since. The boggart was his own master. Being one of the old things of the world, he was not made for human warmth. He belonged to the cold, separate heart of the wild magic, which, like everything that is wild, operates by the law of the survival of the fittest. He did no hurt to anyone, but he lived for the satisfaction of teasing and trickery, and if the humans around him objected to his jokes, he would find those jokes taking on a quality very close to malice. A boggart, by his nature, feels warmth for no one. But once, in the faraway past, the boggart of Castle Keep had broken this rule. Once, perhaps as much as 1,000 years ago, there had been a chieftain of the McDevon clan called Duncan, whom the boggart had loved. This chieftain, too, had recognized the boggart from his cradle and smiled at his escapades, and through all the years of their friendship, the boggart had happily played his tricks on Duncan, and Duncan had laughed. But then, in one of the battles that bloodied the Highlands often in those years, Duncan McDevon was killed by a blow from the sword of an invading Norseman, and the boggart had lost his friend. All the members of the McDevon clan gathered after the murder of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?